on KFAN. The Super Bowl, we're gonna win again. According to your host, David Sinekin, we'll win on the road. We'll win at home. We'll even win in
U.S. Bank Stadium.
Vikes fans can call it for You've Got the Balls, the Packers preview show. No, the Fan Radio Network is only somewhat proud to present year number 22 of Packer Preview. Packer Preview is brought to you by Hudson Ford, Park Tavern, St. Croix Casino, West Bend Mutual Insurance, Maury's 394 Hyundai, and Midwest Leaf Guard. Now, here's the cheesehead, the head cheese himself, Dave Sinekin.
Good morning, Packer fans, and welcome to the Week 10 edition of Packer Preview on the Sports Leader and the home of the Vikings, the Fan Radio Network, KFAN.com, and iHeartRadio. Great to be with you this Sunday morning as we get ready for Bears Week, the second matchup between the Packers and Bears as the second half of the season gets underway, and obviously a season that's rapidly swirling down the drain. Packers now 4-4, heading to the 3-5 Bears, who are coming off a bye week. Packers on the short week after the miserable, embarrassing performance on Monday night at Lambeau Field, a game where the offense could get nothing going, and even more appalling, a defense which did not even force the Lions punter to take the field and allowed Matthew Stafford to do what he wanted to do. Much more about the Packers D as we chat about the state of this team, which just finds itself completely lost without Aaron Rodgers. 2-10-1, the Packers' record in the Rodgers era when he has not either finished or started a game. 2-10-1 when Rodgers does not start and finish. 0-3 this year. The 4-1 start, a distant memory since Anthony Barr slammed into the turf. The Packers have not been able to find an identity. Brett Hundley has not been able to step up into his big moment, and the defense has not been able to take over and allow this team to sort of keep pace. And this game today, frankly, it's the season. I said it last Sunday morning. I really felt like at 4-3, looking at the next three games with the home games against the Lions and Ravens and a road game in Chicago, that the Pack needed to do no worse than 2-1. In those three games, be 6-4 through 10, and you'd give yourself a chance looking at that schedule. At that point, Green Bay would be heading on the road for 3 out of 4. You've got Cleveland in there. You got home game against Tampa Bay. So it didn't look real daunting. 6-4 might keep you in the mix of things. Well, that means they got to win today, and they got to beat Baltimore next week. And a Chicago Bears team certainly smelling blood and anxious to take down a Packers team that has really owned them for the last 25 years or so. I mean, this says it all, right? Bears favored by 5.5 points today against the Pack. Think about that. It's the first time the Bears have been favored all season. And it's a place where the Packers have really felt at home, as you know. They have not lost a game at Soldier Field since 2010. And, of course, the Super Bowl season. If you want to take a little good out of it, the last time the Bears were favored was last year, following their bye week, just like this time, and they lost 36-10 at home to Tampa Bay. So they fell flat, couldn't handle being a favorite. Maybe that will continue. If it does continue, certainly the Packers' defense is going to have to look a whole lot different than it did on Monday night. It's meeting number 196 of the oldest rivalry in the NFL. When the Packers beat them earlier this season, 35-14, a blowout in prime time on a Thursday night, the Packers took the lead in the series for the first time in forever. Packers now lead 95-94 with 6 ties. But as you know, this Packers team appears lost right now, and they're coming off a short week after the Monday night loss at home, whereas the Bears have had 2 weeks to prepare for the revenge game, and certainly they're much healthier than the Pack is, and they are smelling blood. And we'll see if if they can take that favorites role and basically, I would think, put a nail in the Packers' coffin. A loss today would drop the Pack to 4-5. As I said, you still got road games in Pittsburgh, Carolina, Detroit. Obviously, you have the Vikes coming to town late in the season. And there's no Aaron Rodgers coming off to save this team, certainly not for the next, what, at the minimum 5 or 6 weeks. So if the Packers can't win a few games here and stay in the thick of things, we'll be looking ahead to next season. I was at a wedding yesterday, and I had a guy tell me, you know, and actually it was a woman, I think, said, you know what, there are worse things than, you know, having one of those years, getting a higher draft pick, getting an easier schedule next year, having Rodgers back healthy, and going in all in next season. Not quite there yet in early November. I'd like to see this team. Hey, it was this time last year when I remember I wrote the obituary on the Pack season after back-to-back losses at home to Indy and at Tennessee. They looked listless. They looked lifeless. And I thought it was over. And we all know that the Pack turned things around to the point where they got to the NFC Championship game. That doesn't appear to be in the cards from what we've seen so far this year. But it is too early to throw in the towel. This will be Brett Hundley's first road start, and we certainly need to see a lot more from him. I'm really disappointed that he has not looked better than he has. This is the first time in maybe 25 years in a Packers-Bears game where the Bears probably have the better quarterback, even though Mitch Trubisky is a rookie and just making his fifth start. Brett Hundley making his third start does not look as far along as Trubisky has looked. We'll talk much about the Trubisky era, this first start of many to come against the Pack, how he has looked. Bears have been 2-2 under Mitch Trubisky since he came on to replace Mike Glennon. They've beaten the Ravens and Panthers, and they've lost in close games to the Vikings and Saints. They've been a very competitive team, and their defense is legit, and it's going to be a tough one for the Pack today. It's supposed to be cold, a temperature in the 30s, potentially light rain, maybe even some light snow. Packers have scored 30-plus points in their last four meetings against the Bears. I'll tell you right now, they're not scoring 30 today, unless suddenly the takeaway game goes the Pack's way and they collect a bunch of turnovers to give themselves easy points. Points have been at a premium for this Packers offense. Could not run the ball Monday night. No deep passing game. It just, I mean, can you remember a game that you watched Green Bay play that was less competitive at Lambeau Field? It's been a long time. Well, it was probably the last time Rodgers was out. I remember going to a game in 2013. I think it was Cleveland or Philly, whatever it was. It was just one of those games where you thought, man, this is what football is like when you don't have a quarterback. I don't want to sign up for this. This is not good. So we need to see a much more focused effort. Maybe this team will rally a bit after a very eventful week. We'll start with the injuries suffered Monday night. Obviously, the loss of Brian Bulaga, really devastating for the young right tackle who has been dealing with injuries really his whole career, has fought through them this season and tears his ACL Monday night. So Bulaga done for the year. Justin McCray will likely be asked to fill in, but he's questionable with an ankle injury. Sounds like he'll go, but will he finish? And how will he handle Leonard Floyd across the line? That's going to be the key matchup when the Packers have the ball. Do they have an answer for Leonard Floyd, who was a tough guy to deal with even when Bulaga was healthy? Morgan Burnett also, after finally coming back Monday night, he's out again with a groin injury. Appears to be one of those years for Morgan Burnett. And the Packers will have a tough decision to make with him as he's in line for a new contract. Hasn't been able to stay on the field so far this year. Quentin Dial also out with a chest injury. So no Bulaga, no Burnett, no Dial. Questionable, I already mentioned McCray. Ahmad Brooks, I think he'll be back on the field today. I think he's missed the last three. Got a back injury. It's an injury that he's basically lived with his whole life. He's got a kind of a weird twisted vertebrae a little bit. It will affect him forever, but he thinks he's good to go today. Joe Thomas, also questionable. He could be back as well. The other bizarre story was the Martellus Bennett story this week. Bennett now in the New England Patriots. This one smells funny. It smelled funny from the start, right? He comes back from the bye week and said, well, I think this is my last year. I'm going to call it a career. I'm done, you know. So something obviously happened during bye week where maybe he came to his senses and said, you know what, I don't like this team without Aaron Rodgers. I don't want to be a part of this. And he basically, from my standpoint, he quit on this team. And The attack he has since made on Dr. Patrick McKenzie is laughable, and it's interesting, and I think very telling. All the players, both past and present, who have come to McKenzie's defense and let's face it, Packer fans, we all know the Packers have about the most conservative medical staff you can find. You got a hangnail, you're sitting. So the idea that Patrick McKenzie forced Bennett on the field is laughable, and Bennett is holding to his story, but virtually every player that's come in contact with Dr. McKenzie has stood behind him and said, yeah, that's not the Dr. McKenzie I know, and I'm quite certain that Bennett's making this one up as he goes along. Decided at 32-33, this team is not going to contend without Rodgers, so what can he do to move on? They'll likely have a nasty money struggle now as Green Bay will try to get the $4 million plus that they're due to pay Bennett back from him on the signing bonus. So it got ugly, and maybe that gets the team together. And really, you're going to attack our medical staff? I mean, maybe I'm reaching here, but it might be one of those things where the team says, good riddance, and we can win without you. So we'll watch and see if that has any impact. But Packers offense now down to two tight ends. Lance Kendricks and Richard Rodgers will man that position for the rest of the season. Packers go into this game with just 52 players on the roster. They did not add anyone to the active roster in light of Bennett's departure. So we'll see if they do that following this one. Packers need to score some points since Hundley took over. 29 series offensively. Green Bay scored a total of 44 points. That's not going to shake it. Points will be at a premium today. I expect a low-scoring game in kind of inclement weather against a good defense. Of course, the Packers defense has to play along. And I've got a few guys calling, our regulars. I'm guessing Dom Capers and the defense will be the topic for most, if not all of you. I've got a bunch of emails. We'll dive into what is wrong with the Packers defense when we come back. We will hear from Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. We'll hear from Nick Perry, Clay Matthews, Brett Hunt. Let me hear for the Pack, y'all. Yo, because the Pack ain't whack, y'all. Let me hear you say, the good guys dress in green, remember that, just in case we have face-to-face mass contact. And the man on deep, that's Red G, one of the guys quarterbacks, hope they don't see, so don't think you're... All right, we are back, 7:18 on a Sunday morning. Thanks for getting up early or finding us on the podcast before kickoff today. Noon kickoff, no local TV because the Vikes play at the same time. Packers-Bears, Soldier Field as the Packers kick off the second half of the schedule and try to turn things around and really save the season. With a road win against the Bears, Packers have won 20 of the last 24 games at Soldier Field. And as I said, underdogs today for the first time in a long time, and rightfully so. Miserable performance Monday night. It starts to me with the defense, which could not get off the field on third down, and they were mostly longer third downs. Talked about how Detroit never even punted the ball. 8 for 13 on third downs. Five of them were 7 or longer. 3 of them were 10 yards or longer. It's just so frustrating, right? You stop them on first, stop them on second. They couldn't run the ball. They were so one-dimensional, the Lions. They don't even try to run the football. Yet, Packers could not get to Matthew Stafford, could not force him into bad throws, and basically allowed him to pick up first down after first down. It's gotten ugly defensively, and a unit that I really hoped would step up in Aaron Rodgers' absence and say, all right, we got this. You know, we'll do our part. We'll hold teams down. It's not happening. And Clay Matthews was asked if he could get his unit to put the pedal to the metal and make some plays.
The greatest test for this team is doing just that. I mean, since I've got here, really since Aaron, you know, took off back in 2009, I'm not going to say it's been easy street, but when you have him at quarterback, you know, he overshadows a lot of the deficiencies all across the board. So now that, you know, we're having to scratch and fight and claw and have still come up short these past, you know, 2.5 weeks, you know, it's really going to show the resolve of the men in this room. So, you know, I can promise you I'll be out there all four quarters giving it my all, and hopefully everyone else is on board as well.
Well, and not just give it your all, but let's get to the quarterback when they do try to throw. And I do think Chicago is going to try to throw the ball more than they typically do. It's been a weird start to Trubisky's career. A couple weeks ago, he threw 7 passes. 7 in the entire game against Carolina in an easy win against a Panthers team that looks to be headed for the playoffs. Then their last game against the Saints before their bye, he threw the ball 32 times against the Saints. And I think a couple weeks to add some wrinkles, I do think that they will not be one-dimensional. They're not going to just rely on the run today. They believe they can move the ball through the air against the pack. And why wouldn't you after what you saw Monday night with Stafford basically knitting a blanket while he was looking for his receivers back there? Matthews needs to make plays. Nick Perry needs to make plays. Mike Daniels needs to show up. He has been absent on the field for the last 4 or 5 weeks. He has not been the force and the tough, nasty leader of this defense that I thought he would be. Kenny Clark has been much more effective, much more dominant, the youngster next to Mike Daniels. Defense has been a real disappointment. You can talk to about the cornerbacks, and they're not great, and I get that. I think Kevin King is on his way to being a really nice cornerback, but after him, you know, Devon House is basically a standby, fill-in, not a long-term answer. Demaryius Randall is up and down, makes plays, and certainly gets beat a lot, too, and they have to address that position. But to me, the lack of a pass rush, the lack of an ability to force a quarterback to get off his spot and make plays has been a real problem. And I know, I'm sure, we'll get to your phone calls right now. I'm sure Dom Capers, his staff is right in your sights right now because it's been ugly. Let's go to the Packer lines. Begin with our good friend Dave. Whoop, we just lost Dave in Shakopee somehow. We got him back, it looks like. Is that him on line one?
Yeah, okay. He's back on line one.
Must have sneezed and hung up accidentally. Dave, good morning. How are we doing?
Well, I'm having flashbacks to the Linty and Fonte years right now.
It kind of does feel like the 80s, doesn't it?
It sure does. But, you know, you kind of mentioned it a little earlier. At some point, the players have to take ownership from the start of the game to the end of the game. It's just, it's getting hard to watch. You know, this past, you know, game, you know, Hundley had he's already made two starts. McCarthy had 2 weeks to get Hundley ready for the Monday night game, and the results were hard to watch. And the next three games, like you mentioned, aren't going to get any easier because the teams they're playing, you know, are what 11th, 3rd, and 2nd ranked passing defenses in terms of net passing yards allowed.
Yep.
McCarthy says he has faith in Hundley. That's beginning to be a tough sell.
Yeah, he doesn't look anywhere near as ready to play as I thought he would. I mean, what a golden opportunity. He's been in the system for 3 years. He has a chance to maybe, you know, if he plays really well in this 6, 7, 8, 9 game audition to catch somebody's eye and maybe lead a team next year. And right now, he's not catching anybody's eye, that's for sure. Packers have not put him in a position to be ready for this moment, and he hasn't either. So at least he likes to chew gum. You know, he keeps that gum going in his mouth. He's got that going for him. But, you know, maybe it's unfair. It's just 2 starts and all that, but he's going to get a lot more if he stays healthy. He's the only guy they've got. They're not going to put Joe Callahan out there. And you're right. I mean, the Lions are an okay defense, but, man, you should have been able to find open receivers. There were a number of plays that there were open guys that he just did not find, and this does not seem ready to handle the big moment. And as you said, Chicago and Baltimore, those are two pretty stiff defenses coming up. It doesn't get any easier.
No, and you know, we don't see what the practices look like and stuff. We only see what we see on the field. But what do you think are some signs has this team quit on either the coach or the coordinator?
Yeah, I don't know. I'll let you go with that, Dave. I don't know if I can read the tea leaves that way. We all tend to overreact in the moment, and there's reason to overreact, certainly, with what we've watched the last couple weeks. I'll throw the Vikings game out because, obviously, the Rodgers injury happens early, and you're kind of shell-shocked at that point when you see him on the cart. But it's a fair question. I don't think we're there yet. And, you know, we'll know as we watch the next 4, 5, 6 weeks. Obviously, Bennett did. Martellus Bennett took the first ticket out of town, manufacturing a story to get himself released. But, no, I don't think we're there. And, you know, I might feel differently in a few weeks. I think the performance today is going to tell a lot. This is our most hated rival, our oldest rival. There's nothing worse than losing to the Bears, in my mind. And you know, I grew up in the 70s when the Packers never beat the Bears. Then in the early 80s, same story. It was just always ugly. And now for the last 25 years, Packers have had the upper hand. Chicago knows they've got the Pack right where they want them. And, you know, think about it. A loss today in Chicago and the Packers and Bears are 4-5 together at the bottom of the NFC North. I don't think they've quit on this team, on these coaches, but the defense needs to show a whole lot more. I mean, how do you not force Detroit to punt the ball on your home field for 60 minutes? I understand Matthew Stafford's a maybe not an elite quarterback, but you know, he's the highest paid player in football for a reason. He's very good. But you've got to make things more difficult than you did. And I'm at a point where I'm it's been very easy to take shots at Dom Capers this week, and virtually every Packer fan in America has their opinion that it's time to move on. Mike McCarthy has been staunchly devoted to Dom Capers. I've got a couple emails here. Is it the coaching staff? Is it the players? What's wrong with the defense? You know, it's probably a combination of both, but I still look at the young talent on defense, you know, on all levels. You know, you start with Daniels and Clark and Lowry. I think all those guys are good players. Martinez has really stepped up in his second year. You know, Matthews and Perry are not delivering on the money they're making, but they are certainly above average pass rushers at this point in their career. The safeties, when you've got Burnett, Clinton Dix, Josh Jones looks like the real deal, Kevin King. There's enough talent to me on that side of the ball. And whether they've tuned out Capers and the staff, whether they don't get it, I think it's fair to ask. And I'm certainly in the camp where if this defense continues to struggle, as Matthew said just a little while ago, you know, Aaron goes out, we've all got to pick it up. We've all got to improve our game. And nobody really has. I don't look at one guy and say, well, at least this guy is pulling his weight. I'm not sure anybody is on that side of the ball. It can start today. I mean, with the Bears and Ravens these next 2 weeks, two of the most offensively challenged teams in football. Maybe the bottom two offensive teams in football. Top of my head, I think the Bears and Ravens might be the least explosive offenses in football. If the defense cannot stand up these next 2 weeks, then it's not going to get any better. And we can certainly look ahead to next year. But I'm not quite at the point yet where I'm saying they've quit. It certainly did not look good Monday night. Let's hear from Nick Perry, who was asked earlier this week about this defense and the need to force big plays.
As much as we can get. I mean, that's the name of the game, creating pressure, getting the quarterback uncomfortable, and forcing him into situations and throws that that we should take full advantage of. We haven't had that much success at doing that lately. You know, it's a team defense. Everybody has to play better in order for everything to come together.
Yeah, I can't point to one guy. I mean, maybe Blake Martinez. You point to him and say, man, he's been very good, and he has. I mean, he's leading the team in tackles by a mile. He'll be needed today, as will Jake Ryan. You'll see a lot more Jake Ryan today with a Bears team that loves to pound the football. But as I said, they've got a new face at wide receiver, Dontrell Inman. He's making his first start after being traded from the Chargers. They gave him through the bye week. I expect Dontrell Inman, who caught 58 balls for the Chargers last year, and he's a nice player, tall. You know, he can get up there and catch it. I expect him to come right in and be a factor in that passing game. They are going to look to open it up, I think, offensively a bit. But they live and die by their run, and the Packers' run defense was, you know, pretty good Monday night, but that's a Lions team where running is a rumor. So you're going to stop that running attack every game. This is more of a challenge. As unexplosive, if that's a word, as pedestrian as the Bears' offense is, we'll learn a lot more about our Packers' defense today in a game that should be slow-scoring, sloppy. That field at Soldier Field is always a slow track, and if it's kind of rainy, snowy, cold, it's up to the defense to make plays, turn the ball over, and give the offense a chance on a short field to score some points. I know you got to ride your quarterback, and the Packers need to score points, but I'm all about the defense today, stepping up against a team they should be able to hold down, a team they've controlled these last couple decades, and a team they have to beat today. Next up, we welcome our good friend Dave in Maple Grove. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, sir. How are we doing, Dave?
Doing good.
Good. A couple things I took out of the game Monday night, and I was as annoyed as anybody. We had Trevor Davis in there early. He ran a reverse early, and they put him in early. Was that a wrinkle on McCarthy just to add a little bit of speed at wide receiver?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. You know, I think Hundley's probably been practicing with Davis and Allison. You know, he doesn't get to play with the starters too much, so he might feel comfortable with him. I think it was kind of a desperation move where the offense just can't do anything, so let's throw some gadget plays. Gadget plays don't always work. Think about the Lions. They tried that flea flicker. That was the only sack the Pack got all night, was on a weird flea flicker gadget play. So, yeah, I think they're going to try anything they can. They got to run the football better. That's, you know, where I come from. Where was Aaron Jones Monday night? You know, they could get nothing going with the running attack. That has to happen today. Ty Montgomery has had his best game against the Bears last season. And when the Packers go to that hurry-up, up-tempo, we saw how productive that was. Again, it was kind of later in the game when the Lions knew they had the thing in hand. But Hundley seems to really enjoy that two-minute, you know, up-tempo kind of deal. And Montgomery tends to play over Jones in that situation when the Packers are going up-tempo. Look for them to do that, too. Try to change the tempo, keep that pass rush off balance, see if that gets Hundley more comfortable. But, yeah, it was tough to watch. And after watching great quarterback play, Hall of Fame quarterback play for 25 years, it's quite apparent what this team is when they don't have that out there running the ball.
Yes, living the way the other half lives at quarterback is painful. Yeah. I don't care for it at all.
No. You know, Viking fans are loving it because they've been telling us forever, just wait so you don't have Favre or Rodgers. Well, we get that. We understand that when you have a Hall of Fame quarterback, you're a contender year in, year out. That's just the way it is. We don't take that for granted. We understand it. But, you know, that's what we got. So we're going to enjoy it as long as we have it. When he's not out there, though, it shouldn't quite be as ugly as it's been the last few weeks.
No, they should be able to put a lot better effort together. We're going to win this one, and we're actually going to win it a little more handily than people think. I think that's an embarrassed team. I think it's an upset team. I think it's an angry coaching staff. 24-0. We're shutting them down.
All right, go back to your Bloody Marys. Thanks, Dave.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Shut out. Got it. On that note, we'll step away. We'll come back. We'll hear from Brett Hundley. Old Southside guy wants to weigh in. We'll talk to him. And we'll talk about the key matchups, what the Bears do offensively and...
How many times must we take this disgrace? Another Bears fan throwing insults in our face. The Packers are the greatest team to ever play the game. Even if from time to time they've been a little lame. How could you ever love a team with Jim McMahon? Not even Porky Pig was as big a ham. They got a reputation that's mostly based on luck. The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck.
It's a twice-a-year tradition. It's Bears Week. The Happy Schnapps Trio Combo, whatever they call themselves, bring us back. It's Bears Week. Yes, of course, the Bears still suck. It's just that maybe, just maybe, the Packers suck a little more right now. Meeting number 196 between the Packers and Bears. Packers 5.5-point underdogs at Soldier Field today. Noon kickoff. No local TV because the Vikes are playing the Redskins at the same time. Maybe that's for the best. The Packers will try to... Well, looked like an entirely different team than they looked 6 days ago at Lambeau Field as they look to sweep the Bears and really keep their crumbling season alive for what it's worth. If they can win this one and beat the Ravens at home next week and get to 6-4, maybe we'll see a sliver of light. But from what we've watched the last 3 weeks or so, it's hard to believe we're going to see a much different performance. But, man, I'd love to be wrong. When the Bears have the ball, they have now turned to their franchise quarterback, Mitch Trubisky, who is 2-2 as a starter, but offensively this team ranks dead last in passing in the NFL. They are the number 6 running team in football. They run the ball 3 out of 5 times, 60%. That's the biggest differential in all of football. You know Jordan Howard, the second year back from Indiana, is their workhorse running back. He is terrific. And their rookie 7th-round pick, Tariq Cohen, will be a problem for the Pack today. They do struggle against running backs who catch the ball out of the backfield. That'll be an issue next week with Danny Woodhead as well, as he is back from injury, assuming he doesn't get hurt today. You can't rule that out. Cohen's been terrific in spurts. He's a good return man, and he does the lineup wide often, so Green Bay will have to find him. He's probably their most dangerous receiving threat. I mentioned they will welcome Dontrell Inman as a new wide receiver today. He was very productive last year in San Diego. It'll make his first start for the Bears today. It's got to be the least talented wide receiving group in all the NFL. They lost Cameron Meredith, their number one receiver, before the season. Kevin White, their former top 10 pick, has yet to take the field, basically, 3 years into his career. So Inman, Trey McBride, and Kendall Wright form the wide receiver trio for the Bears. If the Packers cannot cover this unit we know the issues are even bigger than we thought. They're even lighter at tight end. You know, Zach Miller had the gruesome injury a couple weeks back. His backup, Deion Sims, also unlikely to play today. So they're very thin. They're down to their second-round pick, a tight end out of a Division III school. Shaheen will likely have to step up and play. I do think the Bears want to throw the ball today and get Mitch Trubisky going. They feel like they can throw on the pack, and the number 20-ranked pass defense has looked very leaky the last couple weeks. So I don't think they're just going to look to pound it. I do think they're going to try to throw the ball a little bit. We'll see if the Packers can get after Trubisky a bit, who's able to move. Certainly a lot more than Mike Glennon has been able to move. But the Packers defense has to make plays. It starts with Mike Daniels. We heard from him throughout the week. You heard from him last week, remember? We got to retaliate. We got to get physical. Well, then he headbutts somebody on a third and long. Packers should have had the Lions on a three and out instead. It's a personal foul. You know the officials were watching Daniels after those comments. That's lesson number one. Don't make comments like that publicly. It gets the officials to watch everything you do. And he gets the flag. The Lions' drive gets extended. It's basically a turnover. And we all know what happened. A few plays later, they're in the end zone, and the route is on. Daniels, no sacks the last five games. He has not taken a step forward. He got injured, and sometimes those injuries can bug you all year. And he's just not the same player. So whether he's 100% or not, I don't know. But he has to do a lot of soul searching because he's supposed to be the leader of this defense. He has been anything but that the last five games. So they need a lot more out of Mike Daniels. They certainly need more out of Perry and Matthews. Maybe we'll get more snaps out of Vince Beagle. Kyler Fackrell needs to be planted on the bench. The guy's overmatched, an outside linebacker. That was a swing and a miss in the third round a year ago. Beagle and Ahmad Brooks, likely back from the injury, need to supply some kind of pass rush if the Bears try to move the ball through the air, something they've been very ineffective at. We'll talk about the Bears' D versus the Packers' offense in just a moment. But first, let's welcome our good friend, old Southside guy. Good morning.
Hey, B, good morning. Hey, I don't know what was more pathetic, that Packer game Monday night or that Timberwolf collapse last night. But that but that's another story. on to the Pack, first a picture comment and then a comment on today's game. In the big picture, I hope with this Marcellus Bennett situation, even though it hasn't been his MO in the past, I hope Thompson in the offseason doesn't give up on free agency. I really think you look at all professional sports, baseball, football, basketball, hockey, everybody improves their roster through free agency. You can't do it just through the draft. And I hope he really somehow changes and is more aggressive in the offseason.
Yeah, I've heard that from several fans who've tweeted me or emailed me during this week, worried about that exact same thing, Southside, and I don't think that that would ever be the case. I mean, it's certainly not his MO. He doesn't like to build the team through free agency, but he's had some hits as well, and who knows, maybe Lance Kendricks will step up now with this opportunity and prove to be a great free agent signing for the Pack as well. You know, he brought Devon House back. That was a free agent signing. He's been okay, but he's been hurt. No, I wouldn't worry about that. You're not going to say, well, look what happened. This guy, Bennett, has been a strange character throughout his career. He's played, what, six different teams? He doesn't last too long. For my money, anytime you get a guy that's played for the Bears and Cowboys, you better be careful. You wonder what that's done to a guy's psyche playing for those organizations. But no, he's not going to give up going into free agency because of what happened with Martellus Bennett. There have been plenty of hits in his resume as well at free agency, so I wouldn't worry too much about that. It's a very strange situation from a guy that basically just said, hey, no Rodgers, that's not what I signed up for. I'm out of here. So it was a weird situation. I wouldn't worry too much about that.
Okay, then on to today's game. Historically, at least two guys on the offensive side for us that have had good games against the Bears have been Cobb and Montgomery. And I think Montgomery hopefully can step up today and help out our offense. On the defense, baby, what we're still lacking is our tackling has been so weak this year. I mean, these catches after the pass have something that's really got to improve.
Yeah, you know, I didn't think it was a big issue the first few games. I think it's gotten worse. You know, you play against a guy like Golden Tate, who's one of the best yak guys out there, maybe in a long time. He's terrific. A lot of short throws. They're finding open patches, and there's just too much time. You know, It's a collective problem defensively, from pass rush to tackling to coverage. Nobody's been terrific. And, you know, that unit, I keep saying it, it needs to step up and play 10 times better than we've seen. And this team's going to compete. I've already gotten a couple of tweets and emails like, be careful of that Browns game in a few weeks. You might put the one in the Cleveland Browns the way you're looking. And I can't even give an answer to that because look how competitive they were against the Vikes in London. That might not be an easy W the way this team's playing. And it starts to me with the defense. Hundley's not going to suddenly figure things out and become a serviceable quarterback in my mind. It's the defense that needs to stand tall. They've got to develop a pass rush. They have to tackle. They have to cover. And they got to turn the ball over. And it starts today in Chicago.
I agree. Well, hopefully we can pick it up and go Pack Go.
All right. Thanks, Southside. Yeah, and that Wolves loss was about as ugly as it gets. But it's early. It's they're figuring things out. Let's not panic with that squad. All right, let's hear from the young quarterback, Brett Hundley, making his third career start today, his first one on the road. He was asked a couple days ago, what does he have to do to turn this unit around?
You know, I think just be more efficient. And, you know, the name of the game is points and winning. And we, you know, once you get into the rhythm, you know, it all depends on how the game's going and sort of what we're doing. But once you get into that rhythm and you get into that red zone, you know, you got to score points. That's, you know, where it shows when you've driven the field that long. You know, you just got to get some points on the board. And that's the big sort of thing that we're emphasizing this week is, you know, third down. And when we get in there, score.
Yeah, third down on both sides of the ball was absolutely pitiful Monday night. And it was, I think, amplified defensively because there were so many third and longs, and Detroit converted virtually every one of them. But offensively, too, unable to move the chains. I think Southside was right. This needs to be a Randall Cobb, Ty Montgomery kind of day where you get the ball in their hands with easy passes. And, you know, this is going to be an aggressive Bears pass rush. Leonard Floyd's going to, I mean, he's going to need a drool bucket. He needs to take the field with a drool bucket around his neck as he looks at maybe Justin McCray playing on a bad ankle opposite him. Now, if Floyd was more of a physical kind of a guy, I think McCray could stand up, but he's a tall speed guy, and that's going to give the shorter McCray, who's really a guard, asked to play right tackle, a lot of problems today. So Green Bay is going to have an answer for Leonard Floyd, who is a terrific pass rusher and always has, it was only his second year, but he's always had good games against the pack. He put Rodgers on the ground in that first meeting. He's stripped the ball before. He is a problem defensively with the Bears. They have to be very careful with what he might do to wreak havoc on Hundley and this offense. So why not work on the screen game, the slant game, get the ball in Cobb and Montgomery's hands and see what they can do because that pass rush is legit. Akeem Hicks, Leonard Floyd, they're very good up front. Now, they are missing the Devontae Adams killer, Danny Trevathan, who's likely to miss the game. He's listed as questionable, but he has not practiced all week with a calf injury suffered late in the Saints game. It's interesting. Coming off a bye week, the Bears have seven players questionable. That's unusual when you've had 2 weeks to get healthy. None of those guys outside of Trevathan are big-time players. Their nickel corner, Bryce Callahan, is likely out today. So they will rely on Kyle Fuller, who's had a bit of a career renaissance with the Bears, the former top 10 pick of the Browns. And Prince Amukamara has stepped in as a free agent from the Giants and done a pretty good job. But they're not great on the back end. That's why Aaron Rodgers and other good quarterbacks have had their way a bit. But you've got to protect. And I'm very concerned about Leonard Floyd against Justin McCray. That's a tough spot. If he really struggles, I wouldn't be shocked to see them try to move Lane Taylor over to right tackle. Maybe put Jason Spriggs out there. You might see a bit of a revolving door at right tackle if McCray really struggles against Leonard Floyd. But as I said, this is a defense that's been very good. They're 13th against the run. They're 8th in yards allowed. They've had 8 takeaways in their last 3 games. This Bears defense is really legit. And you look at their season, they're 3-5, but they beat the Steelers pretty handily early in the year. They beat Carolina Panthers. They beat the Ravens. Not the Ravens are very good, but they've been surprisingly effective. And they have faced, despite putting up those strong numbers defensively, they have faced some good quarterbacks. Matt Ryan, Big Ben, Rodgers, Cam Newton, Drew Brees. They have faced a cavalcade of top 10 quarterbacks, and now they get a guy that hasn't proven anything in 3 games and now making his third start. So the defense for the Bears has to be licking its chops. As they saw, as ineffective as the Packers' offense was Monday night, they have to feel good about what they can do. But they are middle of the pack against the run. So the Packers, man, they just have to move the ball on the ground today. They cannot force Brett Hundley to go back to pass 30 times. This has to be a game where the running game is effective, putting the Packers in good third down situations, third and three, third and four, much more opportunistic than if you're third and eight, third and nine, like they found themselves a lot on Monday night. So Aaron Jones and Ty Montgomery, maybe even some Jamal Williams, Packers have to work to move the football on what's likely to be a slow, sloppy field today, and points will be at a premium. I mentioned earlier they've scored 30 or more points the last four times they've played the Bears. That's unlikely to happen today unless turnovers come early and often. Let's hear from HaHa Clinton Dix, talking about the young quarterback. First time the Packers will face Mitch Trubisky, guessing the first of many. And Clinton Dix was asked what he's seen so far from the young signal caller.
I really don't know much about him besides him being a young quarterback. I know they have some weapons at running back that are pretty dual threats that I'm really focused on. They lost one of their important tight ends early on this year, I think, and I think that's going to hurt them a little bit. But, I'm still looking forward to the game, man, and, it's the next man up mentality.
Yeah, next man up. Otherwise, you might find yourselves next man out if you guys don't show up and play some defense and make some stops. Thanks there, Ryan. All right, so what do I expect? As I said, I think the Bears try to open things up. They're going to try to move the ball through the air a bit, test the Packers' defense. They saw how Swiss cheese-like it was against Matthew Stafford. They know they can move the ball on the ground with Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. Packers have to be disciplined. Expect Blake Martinez to be very active today, making a lot of tackles against a team that's going to run the ball a lot. But the Bears, as I said, they smell blood in meeting number 196, looking to even the overall series at 95 apiece, and they are favored by 5.5 points. Son Jackson didn't make it again in today. I gave him the day off because he's got basketball tryouts at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, so he knows he has to get up early tomorrow. He slept in, but he did give me his prediction. He's got the Bears winning this one 16-9. It's hard for me to argue or mock him at this point. I don't know that I've picked a Bears victory over the Pack in 20 years. I had to do it today.